Hello and welcome to the Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Oberle from VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com, feeling that today. And this is my cohort, Mark Craig from Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Mark, I don't know if you looked outside today, but the skies are crying in Minnesota. It's a sad day. Vikings got eliminated from the playoffs yesterday. I think most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, knew it was coming. It was a bad end to a great season, but then a bad end was kind of inevitable for this squad. They just don't have the defense to was not good enough for the playoffs. We knew that. We hoped. I personally hoped that they would have got one more game, but you know, maybe it's a blessing in disguise that they don't go out and really get exposed versus San Francisco, who's got a heck of a defense out there. So, tough day, but, you know, great season. So, Mark, have at it.
I wouldn't call it a great season. I think I would rather go out to San Francisco and get handled than to lose at home. You know, this is, you know, and these, for whatever reason, it seems like these three seeds are vulnerable. You know, like Childress's first playoff team, he had Philadelphia come in and beat him. We knew that this. I was talking to Harrison Smith. Actually, I spent some time in the Giants locker room and then came over to talk to some Vikings. And one of the five things that I wrote about was the fact that, you know, and the reason I picked the Giants was I just felt like the Vikings kind of their trend of takeaways was dwindling. Two against the Giants and had to win on a walk-off 61-yard field goal. You have a sense that the Giants were kind of – it's hard. It's almost impossible to predict takeaways. The sense was the Giants were taking care of the ball a little better. The Vikings weren't coming up with it as much. And, you know, if the Vikings were 8-0 and they had two takeaways or more, and that was the peak of that was that four takeaways against Buffalo, their signature win. And I talked to Harrison Smith, and I was like, you know, Harrison, and I know him well enough that it wasn't a shot at him or anything. But so I said, did you get a feeling like if you guys don't get two takeaways, your defense just – can't stand toe-to-toe with these teams? And he said, yeah, a little bit. He goes, you know, the takeaways was a huge part of our game. And, you know, and this is what was going to happen. Daniel Jones, they made a lot of money off the Vikings yesterday by the fact that, you know, there was one point in the game where they had he had like seven where he dropped back to pass. He was 5 for 5 when he wasn't pressured for 100 yards. And he was – on the twos that he was pressured on, he ran twice for 22 yards and two first downs. They just can't compete with that whenever they're so loose on defense. And I would expect here soon that we're going to hear that they're going to go in a different direction. Now, yeah, that's I think it's a lot of people's feeling that Ed Donatell probably isn't the answer for them as defensive coordinator.
You said they're a little loose on defense. That sounds like scheme. Is it?
Yeah, it's scheme.
Is it also personnel?
Well, I believe it's scheme. And also whenever you can't get to the quarterback with your four pass rushers, there's times where, I mean, it looks painfully weak from a pass rush standpoint. Now they did get there a couple times, you know, Neal had a sack, Bullard had a sack, but it's just not good enough. I mean, I used to pick games. I've said this a million times on this podcast. I used to pick games like a guy like Daniel Jones would show up in the stadium. I would say, okay, Vikings fans were off the charts, you know, good. I mean, they with the right defense, a right pass rush, which we got sort of spoiled with for quite a while, you know, when the pass rushers were healthy. You know, that combination was hard to come in and play against, and Daniel Jones was not a big deal. Two of his three 300-yard passing yard games were against the Vikings. And then he ran for – He hurt him with his legs in the first meeting, but the second one, it was almost like they knew that
it
they could do
designed.
That, and they just
it was
yeah.
designed. It really was.
But the first two runs for 22 yards was not designed.
Right.
He's back there and he's looking to pass, and there's a gaping hole, and he runs through it, and you know
that's my question, Mark. What you know, this was the same plan by the Giants as the last game, and Ed Donatell seemed to say early in the week that we're going to shine this week. You're going to see them at their best, blah, blah, blah. That, to me, thought there would be some changes. But I said all week to anybody that was listening that, you know, You got to keep Jones contained, and you got to tighten up in the middle of the field where he was just dropping all his passes. And, well, here again, wide receivers open across the middle, and Jones, whenever there was an inkling of pressure, boom, he was out, and he was fast enough to get wherever he saw, which, unfortunately, our quarterback was not able to do that.
Yeah. The difference is what I just said, two takeaways in the first game.
Yeah, you've talked about takeaways all on this podcast a lot, especially in the second half of the year, because you were saying, and I've read some of the stuff that you've written. You said, you know, if the Vikings, I mean, you're just looking at the numbers, and if they're not going to get some takeaways, they need to help their defense somehow, and they either need help from the offense, who puts together long, sustaining drives and keeps them off the field, or they need to get off the field via turnovers, and they just, you know, well, there wasn't a turnover in that game yesterday.
Right, and then Buffalo, you know, that Buffalo game, you know, there's two, you know, Josh Allen throws two, you know, two picks in the red zone, and there's, you know, two other takeaways. Daniel Jones, I'm trying to remember the specifics, but I remember him it being a bad interception that he threw in that first game. They had another giveaway, and then you win on a, you know, a 61 yard or a franchise record 61 yard field goal. So. You know, the writing was kind of on the wall. I think in order for – to me, this is a – it's a good season. But
– you haven't lived here long enough. It was great. It was 13-4. Yeah. That's a pretty damn good season for this team.
I balance between like Vikings fans are – they don't like when you criticize their team, but they also Gus will kind of get offended whenever you say, hey, you know, could be worse. You could be, you know, you could be like the Browns for 25 years, or you could be like, you know, the problem is the Vikings typically are competitive to a certain point. And then there's always that, I guess the, what's going to be the sucker punch of this one, because it's not a missed field goal. It's not a, you know, but there, I have a feeling that the, you know, see, the check, because Kirk played a really good game. This was Kirk Cousins' career in a nutshell. Yep. Played a good game, brought them to the point where they could possibly win, and then just a complete, like, brain fart, like, why did you do that? Actually, the last two series were like that for me, but, you know, a check down on 4th-and-8 will be that moment, you know, where you're like, oh, my God, remember 2000,
I wanna whatever this year. Get to that in a moment, because that's a big deal, and everybody's talking about it, but You said yourself, you can't predict turnovers. Maybe some teams focus on them more and try to get them. And they certainly helped the Vikings this year. But I think saying that belies, you know, something else, that this defense is worse. If they're dependent upon turnovers, which are happenstance to a certain degree, then I think they're just subpar, and it's not just coaching. We saw them chasing a lot of players this week. They weren't in place to tackle Barkley when they needed to on that run around left end. Wow. It looked terrible. They weren't receivers were wide open in the field for big gains at certain times. And they had no answer for Daniel Jones's legs. It's, you know, and to me, and he's not overly fast, but he's decently, he can run. He's a big dude, and he can run, and he has the instinct to do it. But we didn't have a chance to catch him when he did. Oh, God, watching Harrison Phillips or Tomlinson trying to catch him was just disheartening to see that. I think there's something else besides just the fact, and I'm sure you would agree, just turnovers or lack thereof.
Yeah, but, I mean, turnovers erase stuff like that, you know, like just it helps erase those you go back to when the Vikings lost to the Saints in that championship game. You know, Vikings were the better team. Vikings went up and down the field. Yeah. Vikings also turned the ball over 5 times,
right?
And every time they got near the goal line, it was like, you know, this is just one of these weird Vikings things that was meant to be. It was like, you know, hey, they're gonna score again. Well, there goes the ball. There, you know, it's just like, it was just bizarre. And you know, The turnovers do erase that, but yeah, there was some. I've never, you know, I think Za'Darius Smith, you know, and he didn't get any votes for All Pro, and I've had a couple of people say, well, you know, why he could have been second team, you know, I sat down with him after the Buffalo game, or no, it was after the I think it was a Buffalo game. Going into the Dallas game, he was on fire. He was having his best season ever. He did something to himself at the end of that game that before when I sat down with him, and he was just kind of a different player. You know, he just wasn't there as much. Mm-hmm. And you know, PFF had his pressures high and everything, but I just didn't see the same impact player. And that was
the injured.
Yeah, that he was. You know, and I think he talked about a little bit about it. Before the last game or before this playoff game, he actually came out and talked to reporters and Todd mentioned his injury and then this, but you know, I couldn't put him first or second first, certainly not first team, but you know, I couldn't put him second team. And I was sitting down at 1.67 weeks ago talking, hey, Parsons is coming in. This could be a, battle between like who wins defensive player of the year. And he just wasn't the same player. So, the pass rush wasn't there. You know, it wasn't, you know, like Daniil still had 10 sacks in regular season, a sack in the playoffs, but he still wasn't that. And granted, he's coming back from an injury that, you know, two injuries in over 2 years, but it just wasn't there. It's just not, it wasn't the same. Maybe there's a guy in Kentucky that had, I feel, had a better defensive scheme for the last 8 years. And when it was healthy, when his players were healthy, came through a lot more. I mean, the things we're talking about with this defense right now are the same things we were talking about week two when they embarrassed themselves in Philadelphia.
Right, right.
So it's
so you're leaning more to the fact that you think Donatello is gone.
I think so, and that's not, you know, I'd say it's all
guy, or is it the right decision?
I think it's no, I don't think it's a fall guy. I think. He'll mesh better. Probably it's sort of like, you know, like when Zimmer didn't mesh with an offensive coordinator. Okay. Yeah. Just because now we're in kind of this kinder, friendlier, you know, whenever O'Connell changes his coordinator on the other side of the ball. Now we're going to see it treated in a different way as opposed to, oh yeah, there's Zimmer, gruff old Zim getting, you know, firing these young guys that want to try and be modern football coaches, you know, you know, it's just kind of the same thing. It's not a good fit. And, you know, he's got Pettine there. I'm sure there's other guys that he'll look at. You know, that's probably something we'll be talking about eventually, yeah. Especially if he doesn't get fired. That's a big talker as well, yeah. Because, hey, you know, they've been talking. I mean, they had, you know, O'Connell came out publicly and talked about having to change the scheme a couple times this year. And that's the kind of things that happen when Zim did it. It was, oh, he's throwing people under the bus. He's this, he's that. Yeah. We didn't hear that this time, but it's essentially the same thing. Just put in a little prettier package by a younger, more media savvy guy.
You spoke of turnovers and the Vikings didn't have any on offense or defense. And, but I will say, I think they kind of had two, what I'm going to call turnovers light, because the jet sweep pass from from JJ to Kirk was like taking, you know, they were down there, you know, third and goal. It was third and short down there inside a red zone, and they ended up having to kick a field goal. And then they have the flinch by Darisaw on fourth down, which I thought was a tough call given what we'd already seen in the game, but it was the right call, unfortunately. And that turned into a field goal when it was fourth and one, and Kirk just sneaked it and got it anyway if Hassie doesn't flinch. So those two plays really hurt them in this game. I mean, they turned two drives into 6 points when it should have been more.
No, that was – I think you're right, because the pass back came between the Giants' first two touchdowns. I think that was a punt. That was three and out. That was a three and out.
Oh, was
and,
it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was third and short. It was third and short.
Yeah.
And it should have extended.
Third and one, and I'm sure the intent was, the reason Kirk doesn't throw it himself is it became a forward pass. I think Kirk realized that. I wasn't in the locker room for Kirk's explanation of all that, but I actually talked to the guy, Dory Jackson, who actually covered, shadowed Jefferson in the game. And it was like, I said, what do you think of that? He goes, well, because he didn't eat. And on that play, he didn't when Jefferson took off and got the ball, that's whenever his job changes. So he stays home. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that makes the tackle, or, you know, he hits at Kirk first and then he ends up making the tackle after 51 hits him. And he's like, oh, yeah, we were a little hesitant on what was going on, but we had the right defense. And And then I said, you know, Kirk, tackling Kirk's probably the easiest. He's like, yeah, it was one of the easiest. But so, yeah, to me, that's an example. That's probably, I think that's, that, you know, no other call comes off as being that more or like cute. I know O'Connell had, O'Connell kind of had those through the year. Like,
yep.
It's just one of those, like, man, just, you've got talent on your offense.
Right.
Let Kirk throw the ball. Let this guy catch the ball. And then as the game unfolds, it becomes even more ironic that Jefferson disappears from this game.
Right.
Probably the last time you notice him is when he's throwing a ball to Kirk Cousins. It's like, yeah, he got way too cute.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about. I mean, he started off moving him around, and maybe this was a product of that, which was putting the ball in Jefferson's hand in a different way to make the defense think, I don't know. O'Connell admitted to the broadcast team that he got a little too cute there. But all of a sudden, you know, they had a different plan than they did against the Packers a couple weeks ago, where they moved him around, got him in motion, did him some different things so that they couldn't just hammer him at the line like Jair Alexander did. So, but then you're right. Then all of a sudden it changed. Is that because they stopped doing that, or is that because the Giants switched their defense and just clamped down on him? What happened there?
Well, I think, you know, Jackson, I asked him that question because he's the one that covered him. He's like, I just, you know, they say this a lot sometimes, and sometimes it's BS. Sometimes it's, I believe it. He said, you know, I was just getting in a groove. I hadn't played this guy before, and you hear everything about him, and you're, you know, the first drive, he catches four balls on me. And then I think he got more comfortable. This is a guy who hadn't played in 7 weeks. He had missed seven games.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't play that first game. And I think he did a better job on him. And I also feel that there was safety help, which makes sense. But then I also feel like Kirk, you know, in that, especially those last two, I know we're going to talk about it here probably soon, but those last two series, it's like, you know, I mean, he forced the ball to KJ, but, you know, in that play, Kate, yeah, it's a deep crossing route. Jefferson is running this way, and Kirk, if you see it from behind, at least on the TV broadcast, he doesn't look this way. He looks at KJ the whole time, and I'm like, I don't get it. So,
yeah. And that's got to be, you know, he's probably, well, he was under duress the whole time. He had pressure 49% of his plays as opposed to
60%. Yeah, but I'm not buying all that. I'm not buying all the, you know, he is the most pressured guy. He proved this year, throughout the year, that he could force, you know, the play of the year, the play of the century in the NFL is a play that a couple days later, Kirk Cousins is actually bitching about that he did. Oh, you know, I when I threw it, I was thinking, oh, why'd you throw that ball? Because blah, blah, X, right. You know, Kirk's brain is, you know, like it's spitting out the processing it in front of us. And
that's it's the like, catch no. by Jefferson against Buffalo.
It's like, yeah, it's like you gave it. He was given Jefferson chances to catch balls, and again, it's these things where, yeah, Kirk had a good season. I thought he played the quarterback position. His stats weren't as good, but he played the quarterback position better than we've seen him. And then, but then you get to the end, and it's just like, you know, but there's always like a but. You know, Kirk's good, but, you know, and that's what I feel like this game was.
All right, I'm going to say we're going to start off the next segment with the play that everybody's talking about. But what'd you think of the running game? I mean, the Vikings are going against a 31st team against defense against the rush. They start out okay doing running the ball, but then they kind of went away from it. I think Dalvin Cook had 60 yards and 4 yards of carry. It just didn't get the ball that much. But is that because the game started getting away from them? They couldn't run the ball. What did you think of the running game and what was going on there?
Well, you know, two things. One, you know, the Giants, I think I tweeted that's whenever Barkley scored on his 28-yard touchdown, I said, that will be the easiest 28-yard touchdown you'll probably ever see in the NFL right. at this level. On the flip side, you know, I think one thing we found out this year is that, you know, I know that they changed the running scheme and all this stuff, and it was supposed to be Cook was supposed to, oh, I love it. It's this, it's that, it's whatever. Cook is obviously much better in what the Vikings were running with the stretch, you know, the outside zone where you could really get everybody. And then he hops, steps, and boom, he's that way. You know, when's the last time we really saw that? We saw way too much of Dalvin Cook getting the ball and heading up the middle like he's Adrian Peterson. He's not. He's Adrian. You know, I'm not saying he's tiny, but he's not a power back. And we saw too much of that.
Yeah.
And I think with a lot of weight, you know, I heard it. I certainly believe this, that he led the league in most carries where he lost yardage. And
right.
That's we saw so much of that. I think toward the end, we started to see maybe a Madison. I would put Madison in short yardage. I don't, you know, I just think that the running game is whenever your right guard is a rookie and, you know, obviously a learning year for him. I think he does have a future, you know, but it was baptism under fire for that guy. And the center was rotating, you know. When we got to the point where people were celebrating the return of Garrett Bradbury, that kind of tells you that maybe your center's not an all-pro. Yeah. So you're talking about, like, the interior was not this forceful, like, you need to just kind of pound it forward. And I think too many times we saw them trying to do that with Dalvin Cook, and it didn't work.
They probably noticed that he's going to run to the left a lot. And I think if I go back and look at my notes for the last few games, I'll have off tackle left a lot for Dalvin, as opposed to running to the right side where Ingram was. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, all right, we're going to talk about much more about this game and what's in store ahead for the Vikings in the next segment. And we will talk about the final play for the offense for the Vikings for the 2022-23 season. So come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, everybody's talking about it, so we got to talk about it too. The final play of the season for the offense for the Vikings was just kneel downs after that, because it's fourth and eight for the Vikings. I can't remember what yard line they're on, but they just needed a first down to continue the drive and get down there for the tying touchdown. But instead of taking a pass that would get us there, or running a play, Kirk Cousins inexplicably, once again, something we've seen before, more last year, threw underneath the sticks to Hockenson, and he got hauled out of bounds short of the line to gain, and they lost. You know, there was a lot going on in this play, and like I said, a lot of people are talking about it. Earlier today, I listened to Kurt Warner take, you know, it looked like an all 22 and diagnose and said what he would read on this play. It was fascinating. If you haven't seen it, please take a look. But, you know, he talked about that. I didn't realize this, they had Hockenson chipping on that play. And he says, therefore, he cannot run a full or a true route. He can't run out and, you know, make his cuts and get open. He's chipping, and then this guy's right on top of him. So he said, I would never would have gone to him. So then he says, then you look to the left side where they got Adam Thielen going up long left, and they got KJ cutting across the top. Well, KJ was coming across middle and came open, but too late, because he ran a 20-yard route. He just needed 8 yards, and he should have cut it off sooner. They don't know if they're, you know, just the Kurt's analysis is pretty good, and I come away thinking there's so many things that went wrong here. I think even Dalvin Cook stepped on Cleveland's foot, because the offensive line did not hold up. Kirk had somebody in his face. He had to make a throw. It's a choice of throwing into double coverage to Jefferson, which was just a pick'em, and we already had that lucky catch this year, going to Hockenson just to complete a pass and hope he can make a play. So I don't lay it all at Kirk's feet. You know, he might have read it wrong. I think the play design was probably poor, but it sounds like, you know, it looks like you're shaking your head. So I'll let you tee off and say what you want.
Well, I mean, obviously, Kurt Warner knows a hell of a lot more about it than I do. And what Kirk Warner would do, as opposed to Kirk Cousins, is, you know, although Kirk, you know, Kirk Cousins is an NFL quarterback who's a good player. It did look like I didn't see the all 22, and when the play's happening live, you're looking at a million different things.
Right.
It did appear that Jefferson was going too far.
Yeah.
My problem with that play, as I look back at it many times today, was Kirk gave up on it. Yeah, he was pressured, But there's
97 was in his face, Mark.
Right, but there's an escape to the right side.
Right. Yeah,
I got to admit that.
I agree.
My goodness, if the final option should be anything but that check down. He was not. And this is where we get into this, man. Like I said, it's Kirk Cousins' career in a nutshell. Because you say, Kirk, sensed that pressure. It was there, but there's an opening to get to the right and extend it.
And there's all kinds of room.
We see almost every quarterback in the NFL right now extending plays. And Kirk can do it too. Kirk's done it before. Kirk's taken off and running.
We're like, ah, Kirk. Default, right, Mark? It's not his default brain.
Something needed to kick in for him, because for a quarterback of his caliber, for that to be his final play of the season is to me infinitely worse than Brett Favre throwing an interception against the Giants in the NFC Championship game or whatever. But to me, it's just, you've got to give. So, if you get outside the pocket and then you heave it into double coverage to Jefferson or something. The last two series, he threw, I think I had nine passes. I think it was nine passes in the last two series. Not one was to Jefferson. He had a three and out. I've said before, and I said it more in 2020 and 21, where it'd be like, okay, yeah, Kirk played a good game. But at the end of the game, when everyone's beating up on the defense, there'd always be like a three and out where they'd come off the field in 50 seconds. And I just seemed like I was always writing about that, because we always had people assigned to writing about what happened on either side of these things. And I would say, yeah, okay, well, Kirk had a good game, but when the defense needed some help, he went on the field, and they were on the field for 40 seconds, and they three and out, and they walked off. And how many times did we go like, man, that's it? That's all you got? Right. Be like, you're on the field, and you do, it's like having a practice squad rookie on the field. So I got to say, those last two series, I was like, it just, there needed to be more. But the people who love Kirk will say, they'll look, here are the numbers.
Yeah.
Here's what Kirk didn't turn the ball over. Kirk completed 31 of 39 passes. Played a good game. Yeah, he played a good game. He played a good game. But if your season ends that way, it's hard. Be a hard pill for me to swallow if I was a O'Connell.
I agree with you on that, because when I go back and look at it, I said there was an opening. It was closing quickly, but if his brain was in that mode to escape and go, I just don't think. I mean, if that's Daniel Jones, he's out. He's out and moving right up that hole, and there was a good 15 yards for Kirk to get if he makes that play. And nobody's going to get over there and tackle him, but I just don't know that he's wired that way. And maybe, it was tight. You can't, none of us can make a comment on what a person thinks when they're making those split section decisions with impending doom all around you. But for him to be under pressure that much on this season, we've said hit the most time of any, wouldn't you be thinking about getting out of that pocket a few more times with your feet? I mean, he's not so damn slow that he can't. It's too bad. Yeah, he should have extended the play, jump up, move around, do anything, but he sat back and made that decision. He takes blame. I'm not making him blameless. I'm just saying there's other things. I think the play design was kind of iffy. I think we got three guys going deep when you need 8 yards, and the only guy that's underneath is the guy who chipped and is off to the sidelines. That's not good. I think the play design was wrong. Maybe send a couple deep to take somebody deep and then get somebody over that's going to go and do a button hook at 8 yards or something. So you just drill it into them. I don't know.
All I say is that the great ones do all the things you just talked about. The good ones, they don't. And I think we're seeing, this is where I always find myself in the between of the Kirk, the two mobs of Kirk people that love him and they don't care what he does wrong, and the other ones hate him and they won't acknowledge anything he does right. For me, it's like, he takes you to a certain level, and then there's things like this that we say, I don't understand it. You know, it should have been all out desperation, get out the pocket, and where is Justin Jefferson? And the third and eight play is the one that would stick to me too, is that, you know, you had identical routes, just mirror opposites of,
yep.
You know, Jefferson's there and KJ is a great option, but I mean, I'd go with the guy who was unanimous all pro at some point to try and find him. I just,
are you thinking Kirk is going to the line and already eliminating options before the ball snaps? He's going and he's thinking, okay, Adam Thielen can't separate anymore. This guy's on him. He's probably not going to separate. Justin Jefferson's going to be double covered. And they might even throw over a safety on him too, to make it worse. So I'm eliminating him. I've got KJ and Hockenson, you know, and I don't know. It just seems like you talked earlier in the podcast about Kirk not even looking in a direction he was supposed to be looking. So is that a deficiency with this quarterback? Is he eliminating too many options too soon?
Sometimes I think, but I don't think that's a recurring theme, because otherwise Jefferson, you know, yesterday was also a good example of how a receiver probably never will win MVP, because they're too dependent on the guys that normally get the MVP.
Agreed.
You know, if that were the case and it was season long, Jefferson wouldn't be as, you know, Jefferson has a greatness that is at least owed in part to Cousins. I mean, you know, I just feel like, wow, what a missed opportunity to not get him the ball. I mean, he only had one catch, I think, for 4 yards in the second half. That's just like,
is that right?
In a close game.
Wow.
I mean, I think he only had after the first series, he only had three more catches. He had four catches for 31 yards on the first drive, which again was, you know, textbook, you know, right down the field.
And that became the Hockenson show.
And then, you know, I think Hockenson is a great, it's great to have that, because, you know, that's like the thing they needed. But to do just that and leave out the all pro is a little, I'd be a hard one to kind of pick through as a season, off season starts.
It's very hard. I'm telling you right now. But all right, well, that, you know, nothing we say here is going to change the history of what we just saw. So we got to move forward and think, what's next? What's next for this squad? And you touched, I mean, asked this question earlier. You touched on running backs. You touched on Dalvin and Madison. Madison's contract is going to be up, I believe. And they got to decide what they want to do with Dalvin as well, as far as maybe restructuring. I mean, I've listed a number of players but first tell me what, let me just ask this question. What do you think the running back room is going to look like next year?
Yeah, and I don't know the Ben Gesling does such a great job with our cap wizardry stuff. So that, but to me, it's you got an analytics guy, okay, and I would imagine running back position is a heavy analytics. You know, when a guy reaches this age, he does this, and when da 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 da.
Yeah,
they drafted a guy. You know, they were deep. They are deep at running back. Nwangu and Chandler and Madison. You know, I wonder if Madison is a guy that they let go. You know, if they could work it to where he becomes the running back, and they do something with Dalvin. I don't know. I don't know what the ramifications are of Dalvin's contract and where he's at. I mean, I Dalvin obviously is a great player, but you know, this is going to become more than. You know, this is financial as well as the future. And
cap hit's pretty big, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, I don't know about a Harrison Smith. He might have played his last game. And,
yeah,
you know, I love Harrison Smith, but that was not his finest moment.
No.
That game was, I mean, in several plays, I was almost like, you know, should he be on the field? I don't know that he was at his best physically. So yeah, and then Thielen, and there's just a lot of guys that are you know, very close to the fan base here that probably, you know, and that happens all the time. You know, these guys have, you know, the fan favorites and the cult heroes and he's one of us. They all have to move on at some point. So I think we will see a much different locker room. And now it's
You're talking to somebody with a special place in his heart for Adam Thielen. I mean, I'm from Mankato. We played down at MSU Mankato. You love seeing him in the league, but by all accounts, he's lost a step, and his cap hit is huge. If he doesn't renegotiate and give a huge hometown deal, I think he's going to be gone. Eric Kendricks looked slow and behind the eight ball this week. He's got a good size cap hit. I mean, there's got to be a restructure. I mean, how can you not restructure him, Harrison, even Daniil, and on a defense that just was so underachieving? I mean, you know, over 400 yards, 431 yards they gave up, and they were giving up 400 yards like it was Oprah giving out whatever she's giving out. You know, you get one, you get 400 yards. It's going to look hugely different, wouldn't you see, Mark? Don't they have to just really either restructure or start trading some of these guys and getting some picks and rebuild that defense from scratch?
Yeah, I just don't know what you get in the trade for guys that are, you know, been in the league. And in Daniil's case, he's a great player, but you know, he's got miles on the odometer there. So, you know, I think, like I said, I don't think they're not going to be coming back to this scheme. I'd be floored. I'd be stunned if the Vikings walk back into the season with, hey, here's Ed Dantel, year two. You know, I can't see it. I don't. I mean, you know, there's also age involved now with guys. You know, the thing that Peterson has going for him is that of all the, you know, the issues they've had at corner, you know, he's the oldest guy in the room, is the most dependable guy in the room.
Right.
And in part because it's too early to say they blew the draft pick on Booth, but come on. I mean, the red flags were everywhere, and they chose to ignore him, and it hurt him this year. You know, they needed him on the field.
Yeah. They needed him. They needed Sean on the field. I mean, their first two draft choices were defensive players, so you can't accuse them of ignoring the defense. But they didn't make it a premium. They made trades within the division to trade down and get those guys in. And this draft coming up, they have four picks right now. You know, and part of that's due to Hockenson, I think, deal as well. They have a first, a third, a fourth, and a fifth, I believe. I got to get some more because you can't even retool that defense unless you get some more younger guys coming in.
I think one thing Kwesi proved, draft day is going to be they might as well just play the circus music on draft day because it's going to be a moving parts. He's got how many now? Four, you said?
Yeah.
That's not going to – he's not going to just sit where he's at and draft only four players. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things going on. You know, but I'd say Harrison Smith, it's a shame to see him leave. Really like the guy. You know, if you draft a safety 1 year, and then the like Bynum was the guy that we all assumed, or at least I did, you know, Bynum's going to be back up and Sean's going to play alongside Harrison. Take Harrison's job, then Bynum comes in. Well, Bynum played every snap, one of the few players in the league that played every single snap on defense.
Wow.
So, you know, he's probably going to be the safety. And then, you know, the hope is for Sean to catch. You know, Sean might have, yeah, well, first of all, if he stayed healthy, but before he was healthy, because he got hurt like week three or four.
Yeah.
Had he been able to pick up the defense and get comfortable, he would have started before that, but he just wasn't ready. He just didn't get it quick enough.
And now he's got to pick up a new defense next year, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Speaking of Harrison, he wasn't used. I mean, I know that he just wasn't used the way you should use Harrison Smith. And I thought that Zimmer, that's one thing I liked about Zimmer, is that he got a lot out of Harrison Smith. And it wasn't just because Harrison Smith was young. I mean, Harrison Smith, when he was healthy, I just don't think he was healthy yesterday. You know, you should get more out of Harrison Smith than what they got out of him.
And he made the Pro Bowl this year. And I don't know that it was definitely warranted. It's probably more on name recognition than anything. Because he had a decent season, but not a great season.
Well, yeah, he had the takeaways and stuff like that. He had the splash plays. But I'm just saying that to me, I loved how they would, like, you know, you'd be looking over there and here'd be, you know, he's coming down and he's got Daniil on one side and Harrison on the other, and just, you know, some more, you know, coming after the quarterback. I felt like it was a day off for the quarterback when the quarterback faced the Vikings. It's like a day off.
You're not wrong. I mean, we talked about at the beginning of the season that all this would be well if certain people stayed healthy, and Za'Darius Smith was on the field the whole year, but he wasn't healthy for the last quarter at least of this season. Danielle Hunter stayed healthy and stayed on the field. Harrison Smith was in and out. Patrick Peterson, of all people, was. They didn't hot with the injuries to their younger players and their rookies. They just didn't have the depth behind them. They didn't have enough to bear up when you need them. You need someone by this time of the season. I mean, who was that? Maybe it was Zimmer that said, you know, by the end of the season, by playoff times, they're not rookies anymore. They already know how this league is. They know the defense. They know everything they need to know to play. And well, you look down the bench and those guys aren't there. They're injured. And we're picking up people like Duke Shelley, you know, scrambling to get someone, which was great. You know, he's going to be someone you want to keep around, but rebuilding this defense is going to have to happen quick. Because your offensive window will close at some point. So I don't know. We'll see. They'll be tested. They had a year that was charmed, as you termed it, and certainly magical for those of us who enjoy watching football and exciting football, because, you know, when I have 11 one-score games and 8 game-winning drives, you know, I mean, it doesn't get any more exciting than that. It was just too unfortunate that they finally have a one-score game and they're on the losing end. It was like 1998 all over again. Gary Anderson doesn't miss a kick till the playoffs. They don't lose a one-score game till the playoffs. But there you have it.
And that's where I feel like, you know, if they'd have gone to San Francisco and been handled, sort of like they were in 2019, it would have. If I'm a fan, it would have left a little better taste, because especially if you're one of the people that went to the game. And when Daniil had his sack, I don't know where decibels rank or anything, but they had the thing on the board, on the scoreboard. It was like 121 or something, which is pretty big, and that's as loud as the place got, I thought, during that game. And it resulted, it was perfect, the combination. Third and long, the place is going nuts, and Daniil gets and makes that sack. It's kind of like that's what the Vikings traditionally, their pack and their fans and their dome that they've had for, you know, 40 years. And just didn't see enough of that this year.
Yeah, it's too bad. It ended 1 week early for me. I feared it. I didn't think it would happen. I thought that would come down to a one-score game, and I thought the Vikings would find a way. But you knew, everybody knew that odds would be against that, since they already won 11 one-score games this year.
I didn't have very many clear feelings this year as like the first week of where I was like, oh, the Packers, you know, that's a no-brainer. Packers are going to come in here and win this game. That was wrong. So I had a lot of those, but this Giants game was, I just never felt, I felt like it was, for lack of a better explanation, the chickens were going to come home to roost. And, you know, the charmed season, which was nice to see Vikings fans get a taste of that, because they've had so much of the other side of it. But, you know, here it comes. You know, it's just, they were a good team that lived, they lived above their scale, and then it just caught up to them because they couldn't get the takeaways, and
they'll kick their coverage mark.
And it's not a bad season. It's much better to have this, I feel, than to, you know, have to just plow through 4 months of like Chicago so you can get the first pick in the draft.
And unfortunately, but there's the other side of that. You know, they're probably gonna get healthier sooner. The Vikings, like you said earlier, never go all the way, and they're never rotten enough to get those consistently get those early draft trusts. I mean, look at Detroit. They're finally becoming the team that they should be after getting all these low picks for so many years, you know. But I don't know. You almost have to bottom out in order, you know, for a couple of years and start building up again. But I don't like to do that. I have to watch my team win. So
I have to see a few more drafts before I'm sold that Kwesi is going to be a draft guru.
Wow. There it is. Well, that's the parting shot for this segment. Come on back. We're going to take a look at the take a look at the rest of the playoffs for this season and let Mark crow about his prediction that came home to roost for me this week. So come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. Welcome back, folks, to Vikings Territory Breakdown. Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, you know, I don't know. It's weird today. I had a weird feeling after this was all over. And, as much as I wanted them to win, feared that they might lose, you know, there's part of me watching the rest of the playoffs that says that, well, you know, the Vikings, we've had so many blowouts in our playoff blowouts in our history. I just didn't want another one. And granted, everybody's going to call you a fraud, but there was some sense of relief, some calm that we don't have to endure that next week. We can move on. But that's neither here nor there. I wanted another game to watch. But anyway, it was quite exciting what we saw. I mean, San Francisco looked really good. Beating Seattle. I thought Seattle played them tough for the first half. I think they each had the lead. And San Francisco then just put the gas down and moved away with a rookie quarterback who was the last man picked in the draft. So what does that tell you? They got a pretty good team around him?
That tells me that that offensive line. I mean, I think I tweeted it during the game. Just watching, you know, and this is not to say anybody can do it because, I mean, this kid could be overwhelmed and but he's clearly an intelligent kid, and he's got the ability to throw the ball. But if you look at, like, some of his throws, I mean, like, sometimes, it, like whenever the offensive line is so bad, you can only look at, like, half the field. You get five targets on most plays. This guy's able to, you know, to look left, look right, and then look left again. Trent Williams is all-pro. He's been all-pro a million times. I didn't vote him first team this year because he missed too many games, I felt. But watching him back now healthy on that blind side, not only does Purdy have great protection in front of him, he trusts that protection. I mean, he's got Trent freaking Williams on his blind side, so he knows that's going to be locked down. And the rest of that line, they're so good. I'm not saying – most people, it seems like – it's Purdy against Brady or it's Purdy against this guy. But you got to take into account, you know, what's in front of him. I mean, and also what they have going on for them. You know, Deebo Samuel is a running back, as good a running back as he is a receiver. And they've got, and the defense is just top notch. I mean, the Vikings would have had a hard time out there, but in saying that, this team, I don't know that they were frauds. I just felt that they had to do everything perfect. And they did times this year to win 13 games. I mean, not
that's
perfect.
That's a great way of saying it.
Of having things go their way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the double doink with the Saints and, Buffalo game the way it went, having that fumble in the end zone. I mean, just things like that. But
look what happened last night with the Bengals. I mean, if that's not a charm, I mean, those guys I thought were a little bit charmed. They were great last year in the playoffs and deserved what they got to go to the Super Bowl. But they led a little bit of a charmed existence. And then they have these they're going in on the 1 yard line. They got first and goal at the one, which there was never another point scored after this. And Hundley, the quarterback, fumbles the ball trying to reach it out over the end zone. It goes 99 yards for a touchdown. And the game's over. The game is virtually over then because, you know, and Bengals on offense, they struggled against the Ravens. And this was without Lamar Jackson, you know. I thought the Ravens were the better team. So, yeah, there is – other teams have that too where you need to have those breaks go your way.
Yeah, the Bengals have, I think, a little more one-dimensional this year than they were last year. So I think after that fumble, I was listening to on the radio coming home, is that – you know, I think the Ravens defense stopped them, like had them three and out, and then they ran into the punter or something, and then they went three out after that.
And then it was incredible.
And then it was like, you know, here, come on, we're giving you this chance after chance after chance. The Vikings weren't. I mean, sure, that the narrative that they were frauds is gonna it fits perfectly now because you're one and done.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a competitive team that. Like I said last week, they could win the Super Bowl or they can go one and out. It's the things that were going right for them, it's hard to make that happen every week.
Yeah, it is. What did you think of the Jags comeback? 27 down, the Jaguars were to the Chargers. Now they're at home, but they looked lost. Four turnovers by Trevor Lawrence in the first half. They're down 27-0, and they're challenging the Vikings comeback lead. If they could have given up one more touch, but anyway, they come back and win. I turned away from the game at 27-0, came back at 30-20, and enjoyed. The rest of the way. It was pretty exciting.
Well, my thoughts were that I really regret falling asleep at halftime. And I woke up I had it on, and then I woke up like later on. It must have been right toward at the end, the very end of the game. As people of a certain age, Joe, who tend to wake up a lot through the night, you know.
Yeah.
So they were interviewing Trevor Lawrence, and the game's over, and I'm like, what? Why are they interviewing? He had a smile on his face. So as quick as I could, I get my phone out, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I'm treasuring your analysis then, Mark.
Yes. I could have done what 99% of sports writers do and just fudge my way through it, but I just tell the truth.
There you go.
But I have that down. I actually want to go back and watch. I want to go watch that. I want to watch the Ravens and Bengals from start to finish. And I want to do the second half of the Jacksonville game.
Do you think the Bengals are in a little bit of a trouble going up to Buffalo next week? They didn't look. You said they're more one dimensional than last year. They just did not. They looked ordinary against this team, against the Ravens.
Yeah, I think they're riding Burrow a little more than they were last. I think Mixon. I don't know what kind of year he
had. Littleton. He had a great year, but he did little. Yeah. He got injured.
Yeah.
He didn't look good last night. He just didn't look strong.
Yeah, I picked the Buffalo to win. When I do my picks at the beginning of the playoffs, I had Buffalo beating the Cowboys, and in the Super Bowl. And I'm watching that game, which took forever. They delayed the start of the Vikings game because
right. This
other game just would not end. And I'm thinking, oh, if I lose my Super Bowl pick right away, which did I have the Packers winning it this year? Or?
Yes, you did.
I forget winning or going. So, yeah, I lost that.
You're a troll by nature. You're a Cleveland troll that knows how to get after Vikings fans. But yeah, no, you're right. And that Buffalo game was another. I mean, the Buffalo had three turnovers. We were talking about turnovers earlier. And I think they're really big in the playoffs, obviously, because they turn games around. They won they had three to their opponents two turnovers and were able to win the game. The Dolphins, the Dolphins were out without their starting quarterback, but they didn't look like world beaters either, the Buffalo Bills. So I don't know
who's going to win the game. You don't have to tell me about turnovers in the playoffs and how important they are, because every Clevelander has a laundry list. We have names for every one of them, that other trolls on Twitter tend to send us.
Oh,
the fumble, Red Right 88.
I only sent you the drive. I thought the drive. Yeah. What can I say? I didn't mean to hurt you because
I keep watching that, and they still aren't making the plays they should have made.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, is goose for the gander. You sent plenty of stuff back. So what can you say? That's how it is. The one thing you do get to lord over me is you got the prediction right. You called. I didn't realize you were that confident in the Giants. I thought you were just picking them because you figured I would pick the Vikings and needed to tie
it. Right. And as they were leading at halftime and everything, I was like, my confidence was holding together because there were no turnovers. One tackle on Jones and the ball comes loose. And it just – it turns – I mean, that's the amazing part of this is trying to pick games. When, and that's why Vegas makes a lot of money on people thinking they know how to bet the NFL, because it's just everything that makes sense can be just immediately destroyed by one play where the ball pops loose and someone goes the other way. And it held together only because this defense could not get a turnover. And this defense is not, and I've said it for weeks now, it's not good enough to stand. The scheme is not good enough to stand toe-to-toe whenever you don't take the ball away.
Well, I guess I'm a little disappointed the Vikings made the playoffs, A, because they lost, B, and had they not made the playoffs, they'd have got a better draft choice, and C, had they not made the playoffs, I would have won the Mankato Brewery beer from you. But now
there you go. Now, but would you rather like just another year of Aaron Rodgers holding up his innocence? I mean, Aaron Rodgers has as many NFC North titles as I got FUBAR champions around here. You know, they're like worth a quarter for Aaron Rodgers, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you got. I mean, think about it. Yeah, it's hard, but. Yeah, you freaking will you win the NFC North going away? Come on.
Okay, well let's.
It'll be all right, Joe. It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
I understand it. It has been glorious this last few weeks. I've got to go tomorrow to my chiropractor, who is a Packers fan, so I'm not sure what he's going to say to me.
Ouch.
It is. But you know, his team didn't make the playoffs, so I still have plenty to hold on. He didn't win the division like you're seeing, and I'll just ask him.
Does your back get cracked?
What's that?
Does your back get cracked extra strong?
I'm not talking football until the session's over. We'll start doing it. But let's do this. You know, we got to have a playoff. So let's, you know, we can't just end in a tie. So let's pick all the games from, you know, that we're taping this before Monday night's game between what's the name of that team? The Bucks and the Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Thank you.
Which did not push off, by the way.
Just a troll. I told you. He's just a troll. And so we'll start with that one, and we'll pick – well, I guess you and I will have to huddle this week, but we'll pick the games this weekend once again. And we do have some games. We've got Bengals. We got Bengals and Bills, Bucks and Cowboys. And we know that who's going out to Candlestick against the Niners. Well, I suppose it's the winner of tonight's game.
Yeah, right? It's the winner of tonight's game. Yeah.
All right, we'll pick that one later. They're both going to lose anyway. And so who do you got tonight? Start with that. And we got the Chiefs are playing somebody.
Yeah. By the way, I was 4-0 last.
Nice work.
I think last year I was 0-4 or 1-3. I got the Cowboys going out to San Francisco.
So do I. I'm picking the same thing. I'm. Who do you got? Bengals, Bills.
I got the Bills.
I got the Bills as well. And so the other team is the Chiefs and the Jaguars. I got to go Chiefs.
Going Chiefs. I'm going with what I picked in heading into this week. So it's going to be really a boring contest. If you go Eagles, it's going to be real boring. Right. Go Giants. Come on, go Giants.
No, I'm going Eagles. You can't, you know, they know each other. They have sat back and watched what they did. They played them a week ago. Didn't those two teams play last week, the Eagles and the Giants?
Yes.
Play last weekend.
So who'd you take, Cowboys?
I took Cowboys, Bills, and Chiefs, just like you, and I'll take the Eagles. So we got to push this week.
Wow. Come back. Come back, folks, and find out who tied.
You won't want to miss it. But anyway, that's what we'll do for this week. We're going to be back all, you know, next week and on through the offseason to talk about how the Vikings are going to change things up and get back to the playoffs next year with even a better team, better defense. So come on back, check us out. Thank you for tuning in to this point, to this show, and all season long. Mark, thank you. Thanks to Mike Walden behind the scenes, and Joe Johnson, love you, miss you up in heaven. I wish you'd have pushed us across the line once more, but I know you're working your magic, so down the line we'll get that done. But for everybody, thanks, and until next time, skull.